For those of you who have missed a couple weeks, been at the lake or at the beach or whatever, I'll give you the cliff notes. We are studying the book of Acts. We are finding ourselves in chapter 9 this week. Basically, what's happened is that Jesus has ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit has come and filled the church, filled the believers, and the church is growing exponentially despite a whole lot of persecution that's going on. In Acts chapter 7, we meet this guy named Saul. He's just right there at the end, but we meet him because he is overseeing the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. He's standing guard, approving, watching what's happening. And we're going to pick up in Saul's story in Acts chapter 9. Starting in verse 1, I'm going to read a lot of verses, so hang in there, okay? But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, basically if he found any Christians, any followers of Jesus, believers, men or women, then he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So basically he went and got a warrant for all of their arrests, so that he could go from city to city and take them and torture them and imprison them because he hated anyone who was following Jesus. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. A few weeks ago, if you caught it, Dick Blackwell taught us about another guy named Ananias. Different guy. That Ananias is still dead. This is a good guy, also named Ananias. So the Lord calls Ananias. Ananias responds, says, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judah, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias was like, No. And said, "Lord, I've heard about this guy and how much evil he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." Ananias is basically like, Lord, if I go do what you're asking me to do, I'm going to end up in prison. This guy has a warrant for my arrest. Are you sure you have the details straight? And the Lord responds, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Verse 17, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened." Now, if we kept reading in chapter 9, he just gets right to it, gets right into ministry, goes about preaching signs and wonders, the whole deal. Now listen, there are seriously about 8,652 messages just from that little chunk of scripture. I cannot cover it all, but what I feel like is the message for us today, right now, in this season, what I believe that we as followers of Jesus need to know today, above all else, is that encounters with Jesus are a normal part of Christian life. Now you might say, whoa, that was, that thing that happened to Saul, that was not normal. No, it wasn't normal, it was supernatural. But you see, when we choose to follow Jesus, we step into a supernatural life, and that is to be normal for us. We are to encounter, engage with, know our God. He's not over there, out there, up there. He is God with us, Emmanuel. He is here, he is near, and he wants to interact with his people. You know, throughout the Bible, the characters that make up this book, they had encounters with God. Moses and the burning bush. There was a Samaritan woman who went to a well purposefully by herself so that she wouldn't run into anybody. And Jesus is there, and then she becomes this great evangelist and goes back to her town and says, "He told me everything about me." She encountered Jesus. Mary and Joseph saw angels. The other Joseph had dreams, and God gave him interpretations to these dreams. God sent Jonah on a mission, and he was so stubborn that God had to then have him swallowed by a whale so he would listen. Last week, we heard about Philip, who was transported from one city to another by God's power. And I would bet that in this room, each of us who have given our lives to Jesus also have had encounters with him. Maybe they were radical, like your physical body was healed, or maybe your marriage was reconciled after it was long past hope, or maybe it didn't feel so dramatic, but maybe you were able to pay a bill that mathematically wasn't possible. Maybe he spoke an encouraging word to your heart when you were in the depths of despair. Maybe he downloaded to you a strategy to get you out of a business pickle that you had found yourself in. Maybe during a time of pain or loss, you found yourself having inexplicable peace that could be explained no other way but that God had drawn near to you. Maybe just a few minutes ago, in our time of worship, you felt the presence of God. You felt his love for you. We cannot reduce Christianity to a moral code or a good citizens club. We are a supernatural people who encounter a real, living God. We were made for a relationship, and he pursues us in these transformative ways. So encounters with Jesus are a normal part of Christian life. Three little points that are going to feed into that for us. First one, our encounters with God create a foundation on which we can build. Our encounters with God create a foundation on which we can build. The encounters that we have with God are defining moments for us. They're landmarks in our lives. Saul retold his story 3 times just in the rest of the book of Acts. And then he refers to it in the letters that we read that he's writing to all of these churches. He retells his story. He returns to his story. It was the beginning for him. It was the launch pad for his ministry. It didn't just happen and then he moved on and forgot about it. It was something that held him and gave him ground to stand on. Personally, when I need a breakthrough, I don't have to like start from scratch. Guys, we don't have to start from scratch. We don't have to act like we've got to muster up faith or pull it in from somewhere or listen to a whole bunch of new sermons. And no, grab on to what God has already done in your life. Pull it in close to you. When things start getting tight financially, I start to feel a little worried, all I have to do is step back and say, God's done it before. He's provided before. He's shown up before. He's done more than I could imagine before. And so all I need to do is step in to that testimony and say, okay, I don't have to start from scratch. I can stand on the firm foundation of that testimony that this is who God is and this is who he's been in my life. I can move forward. I can move forward from this place. We have to be careful that we do not forget what God has done. We stand on it because it is then what gives us a step into what he's going to do next. We have to hold on to these things. My friend Rebecca Marafino, who's famous for squishy videos now, I believe that God birthed the gift that she has for doing those videos years and years ago. You see, one of Rebecca's testimonies, just one, is that when she was a child, she had glasses. And, you know, they've come a long way. Glasses for children now are very cool looking. These weren't so cool. Sorry, Rebecca. She's really thick. She had really bad eyes. But God told her, as a child, that he was going to heal her eyes. And he did. There was a day where she put her glasses on, and instead of bringing the world into focus, it made the world go out of focus. He healed her eyes. So what does that do for Rebecca? A couple things. One, Rebecca knows that God heals. Rebecca doesn't have to search through scripture. She doesn't have to look around the internet for testimonies, none of which is a bad thing, but she knows that God heals because she's experienced it. It is the ground on which she can stand. What else does it do for her? Well, Rebecca knows that God speaks to children. She knows that God speaks to children. And so I believe that when God answered that prayer for her when she was a little girl, he poured in all the anointing that it would take for her to be able to pull off these squishies every single week because God speaks to children. Encounters with God create a foundation on which we can build on. Number two, encounters can happen anytime, anywhere, to anyone. Encounters can happen anytime. Saul was at the height of his career and at the depth of his hate. Dude was not in a good place. He was not on the verge of conversion. There's nothing about the timing of the encounter with Saul that logically makes sense. But encounters can happen anytime. I have a cousin who's a teacher, high school teacher, and she told me this story one time about an encounter that she had. She had some close friends who had a baby who was undergoing a really risky surgery. It was in the hospital, and she knew that the time of the surgery was, I think it was like 10 o'clock. And so she's teaching. She's in the middle of the class, and she's teaching. She looks at the clock. She sees it's right at 10 o'clock, and she says, "Oh, God," not out loud, to herself, "Oh, God, please help this baby. Be with this baby." Right then, lights flicker. Come on, we've all had these little cool things happen, right? I know, some of us may just dismiss that as coincidence or, ooh, that was kind of weird, spooky. But for her, who just had prayed that prayer and was believing in faith, it was an answer for her. She knew that she knew that she knew everything's going to be fine. Baby's going to be okay. Baby was okay, by the way. God's encounters can happen anytime. He'll disrupt a high school class. It's all right. God's encounters can happen anywhere. Saul had collected warrants. He was en route to try to imprison the believers. He was going after them. Look, you guys, you have to understand that Saul was like the Lex Luthor to Superman, to the early church. Saul was the Lord Palpatine to Luke Skywalker, like arch enemy of the early church. His hatred was heavy. So he's on his way. He's not in a pew. He wasn't in church. And in that place, on the way, God encounters him. Some of my most significant encounters with the Lord have happened in the car, in the middle of the night while I'm lying in bed, at the park with my kids. God's not limited to here. And so I want you to take encouragement and faith from that. For whoever isn't sitting beside you right now, that you desperately want them to come to know to Jesus, God can encounter them anytime, anywhere. He's not limited. And God can encounter anyone. Saul calls himself later on the chief of all sinners. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, the second half of the verse says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. It's Paul speaking. He says, I was the worst, and I think he might be right. Have you gone around killing Christians? I actually think whatever you've done, I think is probably better than what Saul had done. Doesn't matter. I think he wins. God encounters him. God encounters him. Will he not encounter your friend? Will he not encounter you? Don't give up. Don't despair. God can encounter people anytime, anywhere, and he'll get anyone. In fact, he wants to get everyone. Last thing, number three, encounters with Jesus change everything. They change everything. Saul went from rejecting Jesus to receiving him fully. He went from killing Christians to being one of the primary leaders. This is a radical transformation that we have written in Scripture for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We sang that. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I love the line from that song. It says, haunted by my past no more. My innocence has been restored. Can you imagine Saul confessing that? He must have believed it because he didn't waste time on shame. He didn't bury himself in regret. He didn't shrink back and say, well, God, thank you for encountering me. Jesus, thank you for revealing the truth of who you are, but I am not good enough. Look at my track record. Now, he did have 3 days blind. Perhaps the Lord was doing a little like cleanse during that time. Something had to have been worked out. And church, the truth is, we cannot afford to be sidelined by the weight of our past sin. We have to instead be propelled forward by the call of Christ that has been placed on our lives. You are a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's no room for shame. I think that the song goes on to say, forgiveness flows from your veins. Whew. We're going to have to keep singing that song for a while, I think. You know, there's these two guys that are kind of side stories here. They could be their own stories. They could be their own 600 messages. There's a guy, the good Ananias, not the bad one, the good Ananias, who goes to him. He has his own encounter. And then God tells him, I've chosen Saul as an instrument for my glory. So Ananias doesn't go knock on the door and then like, be healed. See ya. Let me run away. Look, God, I was obedient. Now Ananias comes in, lays hands on Saul, and says, brother, brother, be healed. So it wasn't just a miracle of his eyes getting healed, but it was the miracle of the ministry of reconciliation. Ananias is like, you're family now, man. Brother, come along. Barnabas, we read about later on in Acts 9, does the same sort of thing. Saul ends up in a new town, new disciples, new crew. He can't edge his way in. They're afraid of him. And Barnabas says, come on, man, I got you. Pulls him along, says, hey, guys, I'll vouch for him. I'll put my reputation on the line for him because listen to this story of what God's done. Can we be Barnabas and Ananias? Can we carry the ministry of reconciliation in a way that takes people who were really not doing well and says, brother, come on, you're one of us now. We've made room for you. Last little story about how encounters with Jesus change everything. So I have a lot of favorite people, but this is one of my favorite people. Her name's Brittany. She goes here. She was at First Service. She was part of the college ministry when I was leading it. She was actually one of the very first ones that I met, but she was really reserved, really shy, kind of held back, hard to crack. She had a lot of back pain. She actually had scoliosis. She really wanted to be healed of scoliosis. We prayed for her. She did get healed, but that's like such a secondary miracle to what God actually did in her. While we were praying for her, she says what she remembers is that somebody said, I believe the Lord wants to give you joy. And so she at the time was weeping. And then she started laughing. It was a little inappropriate. Kind of awesome. It didn't last just like one time. It was like months. Every time she was in the presence of God, she would just laugh. She was like filled with this overwhelming joy. I'm telling you guys, her countenance completely changed during that season. There was a heaviness about her. She's one of the most joyful people that I know now. Still, it stuck. It wasn't like a temporary thing. She's just joyful. She's just light, refreshing to be around. It's who she is. See, one encounter changes everything. Changes everything. She said, I'd believed God was there for others, but not for me until that point. It's a powerful testimony. So, encounters with Jesus are a normal part of our Christian life. They are our foundation on which we can build. They can happen anytime, anywhere, and to anyone, and they change everything. Joanna, if you and Evan want to come up. So I want to leave you guys with a couple challenges today. Just a couple challenges. First one, I want you to dust off your testimonies. I want you to consider, recall, bring back, remember, what has God done in your life? What are the ways that he has encountered you? How has he changed things in your life? What is the floor that you're standing on? What ways has he ministered to you? What ways has he touched you? Nothing is too small. So remember how God has encountered you. And family, today, we're going to have people come up here to minister, to pray over you. If you're sitting here and you're like, I got nothing. I can't think of any way that God has ever moved in my life or touched me or spoken to me. I've never felt his love. If that is you, don't wait till tomorrow. Come today. I believe, I have like no shred of doubt that if you come up, at minimum, you will experience God's love for you today. I believe it. I believe it. I've experienced it too many times. I don't have to have faith for it. I just know if you take a step and you come forward, you will experience God's love for you today. Number two, second challenge. I want you to tell somebody. I want you to tell somebody how God has encountered you. I know you're thinking, I don't want anybody to think I'm weird. They already do. Can we just get over ourselves? They have lots of thoughts about you already. It's okay. The world is hungry for the supernatural. Have you seen the movies that are out? They're hungry for weird. Do you know why? Because they've probably experienced something weird. For us, it's not weird, it's normal, because we're supernatural. We're made to walk in fresh encounters with God. So tell somebody, because what it'll do is it'll spark faith in them. It'll spark faith in them. And then church, as a family, as a body, we start moving forward into the next encounter that God wants to have with us individually and corporately. Got it? So remember, tell somebody. Stand, let me pray a blessing over you. God, I thank you that you are near to us, that you encounter your people, that you love us, that you want to interact with us, that you want to speak to us, that you want to move in our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the foundation on which we can stand. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for moving powerfully on our behalf. Thank you for being good to us, your children. Help us remember. Help us remember. God, this week, would you stir up memories of what you've done for us so that we can take a step forward, move forward. Thank you that you, through the power of our testimony, have equipped each one of us to share your good news. It's not more complicated than that. Our stories are powerful because of what you've done in and through us. We love you, God. God, bless your people. Fill your people. Refresh your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, you did good. I love you. Go have a great week. Come forward for prayer if you want a touch from God. See ya.